You can remain seated. 1 Samuel 4:19. Isn't the Lord something else? First Samuel 4. There's a girl in this story. I guess this is Sunday school time. We'll teach Sunday school for about 30 minutes and we'll go get us a sandwich. There's a girl, her name's Hannah. Hannah can't have any children, and to be barren back in those days, well, it's a lot like today, but to be barren back in those days, it was a blight on your name, and it was a blight on who you were. And she wanted a child, and the Bible said that this woman that came to the house of God and her husband said, I'm better to you than 100 children could be. Why don't you just accept what you got? She said, I want a child from the Lord. And the Bible said she came into the temple. And the Bible said she knelt down and she began to pray, and Eli the priest saw her praying. And when the priest saw her praying, he thought she was drunk. Now, I want to say something to you, and with all due respect, God help us tonight. When's the last time you piled up right here to the point that he thought something was wrong with you mentally? When's the last time you crawled up, and I'm not talking about walking down here and now I lay me down to sleep. When's the last time you dove in an altar and called on God to the point that everybody thought you might have been sipping the whiskey before you got to church? Sometimes you got to get a hold of Him in ways that are not normal and ways that are not progressive. Sometimes you just got to fall out and say, oh God, I need you to help me. And if you don't, I ain't going to make it. When is the last time y'all piled in here and somebody thought y'all was all drunk? You say, well, I don't act that way. Start. You don't want something bad enough. She piled up. The preacher said, you drunk? She said, no, I just got a broken heart. You know the story. God gave her a son. Named him Samuel. She gave him back to the Lord and brought him to the temple when he was weaned and dropped him off and let Eli raise him. I want to say something else about this. We all know that Eli ended up being a carnal, just an old carnal wicked man. I want to say something to you. You do the right thing, even if the wrong people are around, God will still honor it and God will still be God. Well, I don't want to go to church because I don't like them. Well, you like God. This is His house. Amen. I'm moving on. She did what she told God she'd do, and God honored her. And bless that boy. Bless that youngin. He grows up. You know the story. God comes by. Samuel. He jumps up. He tells Eli. He said, "What you called me?" He said, I called thee not. Go back to sleep. The Lord comes by the boy. Samuel. He runs in there. He said, you called me. He said, I didn't call you. Can I say something else to you? I'm just teaching Sunday school tonight. Can I say something else to you? A whole lot of times when God talks to you, it sounds like your preacher. Well, I don't worship no man. We know that. But I tell you this, most of the time when God talks to you, it's going to sound like Brother Ken Bowman talking to you. Go ahead and go like this. God spoke to that young boy and he thought it was his preacher. He said, what do you want, preacher? Samuel. He went back there. He said, oh, that's the Lord. He said, tell him you hear him. Can you imagine what Eli thought? Because he ain't heard from God in so long. But it broke his heart. So, Samuel's growing up. Eli has two boys, Phinehas and I believe Hophni. And they're the priest in the temple. Eli is, the Bible said he's a big man. He's sitting on a stool. And I want to pick up our reading in chapter 4, verse number 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. Now, the Philistines had just made war with Israel. And Hophni and Phinehas were killed in the battle. Eli heard about it, fell out of his stool, broke his neck. He's dead. And now Phinehas' wife was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Holy Ghost, I want to ask you, Lord, to help me tonight put safeguards in my mind, in my life, in my home, in my ministry, around my children. God, help me beware of what's going on around me, because I can't live without You. Lord, I don't want to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. And Holy Ghost, tonight I pray that You'd let me be a blessing to these precious people of God tonight. Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I saw this and I was thinking about that glory. Brother Ken, that glory is it's a touchy subject when you start talking about the glory. I bet we could ask everybody in here what the glory is, and we probably might get the same answer from a few, but other people would have a different idea of what the glory was. Somebody say amen. It's a holy subject. It's a sensitive subject. And in essence, this is what we're talking about, and this is what we mean when we talk about the glory, and the Bible talks about the glory of God. We're talking about the manifest presence of God Almighty. Now, we understand that God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere all the time. You say, explain it. I can't, but I believe it. I believe He's everywhere. But at the same time, sometimes God chooses to manifest Himself around us and near us to the point that we can almost reach out and touch Him, and we feel Him, and we see the effects of what He's doing in our midst, and we know that it's Him. You know what it's like to be in here and He walks by you. Yeah. She's up here singing just now. You know why she's doing that? Because He walked by her. The manifest presence of God. Now, saying that, I want to say this. It is the manifest presence. It is not the manufactured presence. I appreciate the way you go to church, preacher. Sing a hymn, three songs, and let's preach and let God be God. Whatever He wants to do, bless His good name. Hallelujah to God. I bless the Lord. We're living in an hour and we're living in a day when the presence of God has been so manipulated and manufactured. I'm not trying to be arrogant. God knows my heart. Most people don't know the difference. When somebody jumps up and somebody gets excited and somebody gets happy and somebody they're in the glory. If it's not Him, it's not real, and I don't care. You can dive off them stairs and hit your head, and I can sit over here quiet, and we'll be equal in worship if it's not the real manifest glory of God. And people don't want the real glory of God anymore because they don't want to do what it takes to have the real glory of God. Therefore, let's manufacture it so we can feel good about what we're doing. Amen. I love the Carolina Gamecocks. I'll run out the back door in just a second. I've been a Gamecock fan. George Rogers. My mama used to take me to football games in 1981 when George Rogers won the Heisman Trophy. Best thing ever happened to Carolina football. Only things ever happened to Carolina football. But I've been a fan for a long time. Brother Ken, you get in that stadium?
Yep. Get it now.
88,500 people. Yes. I'm carnal. Y'all forgive me. I'm sorry. At Williams Bryce, they'll pack that thing out. And Sam's a Clemson fan. He'll get saved one day. They'll pack that thing out. They'll get ready. Everybody, they hand out them little towels, yes, and they play that song. And it's, and boy, we stand. I get, you say you do that? Yes, I do it. I'm a fan. Yeah. Who knoweth the spirit of man but the spirit of man that's in him? And who knows the spirit of God except the spirit of God that's in him? They'll start playing that song, and then they play that 2001 Space Odyssey. Da, 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 da. Boom, 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 boom. And that cannon goes off, Brother David. That smoke fills up. And players run out on that field. And they play in that music. Da, da, da. Everybody comes running out. Everybody's waving around. USC, USC. Don't, no, don't tell anybody. Sometimes I get a little.
Yeah, teary-eyed. Yeah. Teary-eyed.
Woo. Whoo, got something in my eye. Oh, yeah. I can go to a race, my little boy, go-kart races, and I've been dirt track racing my whole life. I love it. They'll sing the national anthem. Oh, say, can you see? You know what it feels a lot like?
Uh-huh.
Y'all throw mad if you want to. It feels almost the same as when Jesus passes by.
Yeah, almost.
Almost. How do I know that it ain't Jesus? Because I got a Bible that tells me what He is and is not attracted to. Here's my point. I'm going to preach in a minute. Here's my point. Brother Kim, we're living in a time when most people don't know the difference. And you could go in most churches in America with a plan, a plot, and a scheme, and you could have them running the aisles and jumping the pews and throwing their hands up and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And you could have planned it an hour and a half before the service and made it happen just the way you wanted it to happen. I know y'all don't believe that, but I'm telling you the truth. Because most people don't know the difference between the manufactured and the manifestation. Because they don't know their Bible. I'm going to get to my message in a minute. I just can't... The Word of God supersedes human experience. Ask a man, was he saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. I said, what happened? He said, I glowed. I said, you did what? I glowed. Light came out of me and I knew I was going to be okay. Human experience never supersedes the Word of God. The Word of God's always right. We're always wrong. End of story. And so I'm interested in having the real glory of God in my life. I'm interested in being around God. Here's the problem. I know how messed up I really am. I know how much I need God. I know how weak I am. I know how wicked I am. I know how carnal I am. I know how much I need Him. And boy, I'm in Jesus' name. I mean, I need Him. And boy, I want to do everything I can do to be in His presence because He's the only one that can help. Moses said, God said, go up. Moses said, I'll not go up without you. I don't want to live without him. I can't live without him. I'll be in the ditch somewhere on the side of the road before I get home tonight drunk without him. You see, I thought you said, I am saved. I'm a saved man that needs God. I need him every hour of every day, of every minute, of every second. I've got to have him. I cannot live without him. Don't give me nothing fake. Don't give me nothing phony. Don't give me nothing that won't last. I need God's manifest presence in my life because that's the only way I'm going to make it. I ain't going to make it without him. And so if that's the case, why did he leave them? What made the glory of God leave these people? What made it leave? I think there are three mistakes that were made in this temple. Three mistakes they made that caused God to remove his glory from their presence. Now, if they was living today, nobody knowed it. They would have got a contemporary pastor to come in and take over the temple and everything had been fine. Nobody knowed the difference. At least the old girl knew the glory was gone. There's three mistakes. Three mistakes that were made. I'm gonna run through these quick. Three mistakes. Every Christian here can honor the manifest glory of God by avoiding these three mistakes. Three mistakes we do not need to make if we're going to live in the presence and in the glory of God. Mistake number one, they became calloused in their testimony. They became calloused in their testimony. Chapter number 2 and verse 12. These boys, the Bible said, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, here's what it's saying, that it was their job to work the altars in the temple. It was their job to receive the sacrifices that the people of God brought to God. And they would bring it, and the custom was is that they would dip a hook down in that flesh pot. Whatever stuck to the hook was the priest's portion. That was God's design to take care of the priest. But what they were doing, they were going through the whole thing and picking out all that they wanted. They were taking the whole lot of it and not leaving anything for a sacrifice. And the Bible said around verse 15, 16, 17, the Bible said, therefore the people of God abhorred the sacrifice of the Lord. You say, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means the way them boys was acting in the house of God made people not even want to come and sacrifice to the Lord because they were making it so uncomfortable. These people want to bring their sacrifices to God and lay them at the altar and give them before the Lord. And Hophni and Phinehas were taking advantage of them to the point to where they hated to give anything to God. They became calloused in their testimony. Now watch this. They got familiar in the house of God. They grew up in there and the Bible said that they were sons of Belial. They were demon possessed. How do you grow up on the altar and end up a child of the devil? How do you grow up on the altar and end up a son of Belial? I'm trying to be real careful here. When you get, do you know one of the most dangerous places to grow up?
You're right. True.
Is in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost Baptist church. It's one of the most dangerous places for a child to grow up. And at the same time, it's one of the greatest places for a child to grow up. You know what happened? They got familiar with the house of God. The Bible said Eli, preacher, Eli was supposed to be serving, and he got his boys to do it. And the Bible said that he always sat on his stool and his eyes were dim and he was a heavy man. And Eli got to where it was just a place to come and hang out. And the Bible did say that they were stealing all those sacrifices and bringing all that meat. Eli just wanted some more cube steak. And he sat there and watched his sons wreck it all. And it made the people of God not even want to come to church. I'm talking about how we can get the glory to leave. They became calloused in their testimony. They got familiar in the house of God. They got faithless in the house of God. This is supposed to be a place where your sacrifice means something. This is a place where you're supposed to bring things to the Lord and honor God. And I want to say this. Did you come tonight expecting God to do something? Did you come tonight waiting on God to do something? Did you come tonight hoping God would do something? Or did you come by because you're supposed to come by? Or did you come by because you had talked to somebody after church? Or did you come by just because you didn't want Brother Ken to be let down? If you came in one of these doors looking for God to do something in your life, and you came with faith, you're going to leave tonight having God spoke to you. But if you came faithless, Bible said in Hebrews that the word profited them nothing because it wasn't mixed with faith in the hearers. We got to mix it with faith. They became faithless in the house of God. Then they became foolish in the house of God. Bible said in chapter 2, verse 22, and there's children here, and so I won't say a lot about this. But they were having their own way. The Bible said at the door of the temple. Having their own way with the young ladies that came in. These boys grew up in the house of God. They made God's people hate church and hate sacrifice and hate service. And they became foolish. And here's it in a nutshell. They grew up around the things of God and missed God. I bet Hophni and Phinehas could sing Amazing Grace like you ain't never heard. I bet Hophni and Phinehas could sing There's a Fountain Filled with Blood and hit every note and know every harmony line to it. I bet they knew it all. And Hophni and Phinehas died and went to hell because they grew up around the things of God and never knew God. I'm going to move on. Do you want to know one way to get the glory to leave your life and the manifest presence of God? Now, did you know that this can happen going down the road? You ain't got to be in an altar at church for God to sit down in your car with you. I done about wrecked my car many times riding down the road. Manifest presence of God will show up when He wants to. But I can tell you this, we can do things to hinder Him from showing up. And when our testimony gets calloused, when we don't care how other... We say things like, I don't care what nobody thinks about me. And we'll bow up when we say, I don't care what nobody thinks. I'm my own man. I love Jesus. I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care what nobody thinks. And we'll bow up and we'll think that's spiritual. Don't matter what nobody thinks about me. It does matter. If it didn't matter what anybody thought about you, God would have killed you the minute He saved you and took you to heaven. But He left you here to mold you and make you into the image of Christ so that others would see Him in you. They grew up in church and missed God. They didn't care about their testimony. Let me ask you a question before I move on. Is there anybody in this town that won't come to this church because of the way you treat them outside of here? Is there anybody... I'm sorry. I feel like I'm at home. I'm all messed up. Can we go to where you work? And say, why didn't you come to revival with him? And it be all right, the responses we get. Preacher, I tell you what's worse than that. Can we sit at your supper table tonight after church and talk to your children? And ask them what they think about Mama and Daddy's religion.
Exactly right.
Because if it's just real here,
right,
what you have's not real anyway.
Right. I believe it.
If the only time the Lord's real to you is here, then He's not real to you anywhere. Calloused in their testimony. Number two, they became, I'm trying to preach number three, I don't want to get ahead of myself. They became careless in their tasks. I'll say it and move on. The Bible said, ere the lamp of the Lord went out. I think it's over around chapter 3, chapter 4. Ere the lamp of the Lord went out. The Bible teaches us in Exodus that there was a lamp right at the altar, and it was to show the way where the holy place was in front of that veil. And the Bible said in Exodus 22 that that lamp shall never go out. In other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that lamp was to be burning at the altar, and there was never to be a time that the lamp at the altar was to go out. He said morning and evening, they were supposed to fill it with oil and check it to make sure it was burning. Now, we don't know when it went out, but the Bible said ere it went out. So we know it did go out. Right before it went out was when all this went down. They became careless in their tasks. Here's what they thought. Do you know that the Bible said there were keepers of the oil? There were people down in the cellar of the temple that did nothing but take care of the barrels of oil that would be put into the lamp. It was that important to God. He had a whole team set up just so the fire would never go out. And it was somebody's job. Brother Ken, it was somebody's job to do nothing more than this. Well, here's a better. It was somebody's job to do nothing more than this twice a day.
Yep.
It's about how long it would have took.
Right. Good.
But you don't know the problem with that? Everybody didn't see them do it.
Right.
And they got careless with their tasks. It was a small task. Twice a day. Two times a day. It was a sovereign task. It was more than that lamp. Hallelujah. As a picture of the Son of God. I am the light of the world. It was a special task. God had given that little thing to them. And do you want to know what will get the glory to leave your life? Is when those little things get to where you don't care about them anymore. Those little things. Seen a man up here before church, Brother Kenny, walked over here and he looked at this microphone and checked it, looked at that one and checked that. Don't look like much, but boy, it is when somebody gets ready to go grab one and use it and it don't work. Amen. Went to the bathroom this morning. You know, there wasn't no trash in a little thing. It was clean in there. Walked through the parking lot. Looked nice down through there. Didn't see no God. Y'all in construction. And there ain't no trash in the parking lot. I don't know if you know that. That's a miracle in a Baptist church. Small task. God goes by and He starts handing out some small tasks. He wants to see who will do little things for Him. Do the small things for me. And he that's faithful over little will be faithful over much. But when you start thinking those little things don't matter anymore, God will say, well, He don't appreciate me. They got careless in their tasks. They quit doing the little things. God. Oh. They quit doing the little things that made the difference. What are you doing here? What's your job here? What do you do at Liberty Baptist Church? You say, well, I'm not really. Well, let me say something to you. If what you do is come in and sit down in a pew, can I say something to you? Keep doing it. Because that just because you don't sing the specials don't mean you're not important. When that man walks up in that pulpit and sees you sitting there, the devil tells him, don't nobody like you anyway, don't nobody want to come to church. And when you just come to church and sit down in your spot and you're... Holy Ghost says, see, somebody likes you, preacher. That's what it does to me anyway. Your little part matters. And when you get tired of the little part, the glory will depart out of your life. Well, they got calloused with their testimony. They got careless in their tasks. And they got carnal in their touch. They got carnal in their touch. Chapter 4. I'll say this and I'm done. Chapter 4, the Bible said the Philistines came and fought them. And they were scared that they wasn't going to win. And so the Bible said they sent people back to the temple and they grabbed the ark. There's 4 hours of preaching in that. Wasn't nobody supposed to be behind that curtain anyway? They grabbed the ark. And the Bible said that they brought it to the battlefield. And when they brought it to the battlefield, the Bible said that they began to shout until the earth rang again. And the Philistines said, uh-oh, we're in trouble. God's moving over there amongst them people. Y'all better quit you like men. Bow up real tight and let's go get them. And the Philistines went and killed 30,000 of them. And they stole the Ark of the Covenant away from the Hebrew people and took it back home with them. Eli's boys died. He heard what happened. He fell over dead. And the girl said, the glory has departed because the ark of God has been taken. What's the point? They became carnal in their touch. That ark was where it was, Brother Ken, for one reason and one reason only. And it was a place for the people of God to bring their sins. I hope that I'm done. I'm finished. We'll be eating a sandwich here in 12 minutes. But if you don't hear nothing else I said, hear this. I said it was a place for the people of God to bring their sins. It's a picture of Christ. But instead of them bringing their sins to the Lord, they wanted to use the Lord's stuff to give them victory. They cared more about winning the battle than being right with God. And they thought the only reason to come to church, Brother Kim, was just to give me something so I can make it through the week. And I've been so guilty of saying that and hearing it and believing it and preaching it. I just want to give you something to make it through the week. And ain't nothing wrong with that. As long as we start out bringing our sin to Him. Brother Mike Moorman put it this way. He said, we'd rather be happy than holy. He said, when we want to be happy instead of holy, he said, the glory will leave us. We had a conversation today at lunch. If we just keep doing what we're doing, your preacher said, we'll have something that ain't nobody else in the world going to have because ain't nobody having Holy Ghost Church anymore. And I want to encourage Liberty Baptist Church. I want to encourage everybody in here. Listen to me. I want to encourage you. Do not get calloused in the way that you think people look at you just because you want to be a big shot. It matters what people think about you. Don't think that your little part don't matter, because your little part does matter. And don't come in here every week and fold your hands and say, I want the blessings of God as long as I don't have to deal with God, and walk out the door, because soon the glory will depart from your life. And ain't that where we are? I heard Buster Seaton say it one time. I was just a young preacher, and I heard him preaching. He said, we hide, as it were, our faces from Him even as we serve Him. Don't go after the benefits of God without God. Lord, I'm done preaching. Lord, made me change the way I prayed before I preach. I'd say, God, put Your power on me, God. Oh, God, give me Your power to preach today. And God is my witness. He told me, I was praying one day, and the Lord said, I don't know how He talks to y'all, but He tells me to shut up and stuff. He's like, you're stupid. You don't know how to pray. You've been saved 20 years, and you don't know how to pray yet. You're praying stupid. Shut up. It's what the Lord tells me. I said, oh, God, give me Your power to preach. God said, shut up. You're being stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. I was like, Lord, you have been praying, and the Lord grieved you, tell you you're praying wrong? I said, Lord, what are you, Brother David, honest to goodness. I said, why am I praying wrong? I want Your power to preach. He said, I know, but You don't want me with You preaching. He said, if You'll take me with You, You'll have everything I got. My power, my drawing, my glory, all of it. He said, you just want people to think you're a good preacher. He said, quit praying stupid. It's exactly right. So I ain't giving you no medicine I ain't done took. The Holy Ghost said, if you'll just take God with you, and you'll have Him, you'll have everything He has. You'll have His power. You'll have His glory. You'll have His goodness. You'll have His kindness. You'll have all these things. But we want God's things without God. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to bring our sins to Him. I'm going to give the invitation. I want to ask you to help me do something. I want you to bring your sins to Christ. I'm talking to saved people. You're not going to overlook them and act like they ain't real and have God's glory in your life. You're not going to overlook them and act like you ain't got none of them and have God's glory in your life. That's where it's going to start. And then let's find us a place in this altar and say, God, I'm not asking You for anything You got today. I just want You. And Lord, would You teach me to walk with You? Not Your things, not Your stuff, not what You do for me. Teach me to walk with You. And I know that when You come, Your glory will come. And I'll be all right. Y'all stand up with me.